On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're watching Larry Crown, starring famous actor Tom Hanks.
Larry Crown is a 2011 romantic comedy co-written, produced, directed, and starring Tom Hanks in his sophomore filmmaking effort.
Larry Crown, Larry Crown, Larry Crown, Larry Crown.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
What up, Hanks heads? Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Tom, the Pod Hanks Tomcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies and then we talk about them.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Daniel. My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
Weird. Haven't seen you in forever.
I know. Well, we saw each other, but we haven't seen each other in the context of the podcast.
Yes. With Tom Hanks looming above us.
He is. It's a big year for Tom Hanks.
It is a huge year for Tom Hanks.
A lot of Tom.
Okay. So before we start talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Which is Larry Crown
that we watched. Larry Crown, the film. The real film, like, Larry Crown.
Chef's kiss. Was really excited to watch this one. How have you been?
Oh, I've been lovely.
Yeah, it's summertime.
Yeah, it's hot. Had a heat wave.
It is hot.
My AC broke. We were just talking about it.
That blows,
That was annoying. It's fixed now. It's pretty nice in here.
Yeah. I mean, really, though, we're like some of the lucky few in Los Angeles, I feel, who have air conditioning.
Yeah, I come from Oklahoma, and everyone has AC, and everyone has central AC, so moving to cities, I was very surprised by like window units and not having AC at all.
Right. Or like just having it in the bedroom or just having it in the living room.
Yeah. Super, super first world problem.
It seems inhumane.
It is. I mean, there are punishing people
living in cages right now. Yeah. So I like, you know.
Fair enough.
It's all relative. But like with this weather, it's fucking barbaric.
It's pretty. Yeah. And, like, I have a dog, so she was not thrilled and just, like, panted, so that was weird.
Do dogs sweat? They don't, right? Just through their tongues?
Great question. I don't think so.
I think that's why they pant.
Oh, okay.
Like pigs.
They let it out.
You know pigs don't sweat?
I did.
Have we talked about this?
I don't know.
I don't know
why we would have, maybe.
You had a look on your face like, oh, yeah.
I've had a conversation about that with someone, and I couldn't remember if it was you or why I've had that conversation, but yeah.
Well,
how have you been?
You know, I'm good. I'm still working nights, which sucks. So that means that I'm sleeping during the day.
Oh, okay.
When it's
like a vampire.
Very hot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So my AC has been running the whole time. I mean, to make things even more interesting, just continue talking about my AC.
It's a nice perk.
It is.
Nice perk of life.
And
you know, this podcast pays for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all that money we're making on this podcast. It's so
AC
nice.
Money.
Yeah. Well, you and I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
I really liked it. I liked it a lot.
You planned it very, you were very like methodical about it.
Yeah, I have this, I do like to make plans.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, so you bought the tickets like a month beforehand, right?
Yeah, we went to the Cinerama Dome in LA, which is famous, a famous landmark.
Okay, also, like, explain what that is. That was my first time ever going there.
Oh, so it's like a classic, it's called the Dome, Cinerama Dome. It's a classic theater that's sort of a, kind of a landmark in LA, but it's sort of famous for this giant curved screen, so the screen sort of curves around you. So back in the golden age, they would screen, like, 70mm prints of movies, and they would take up the whole screen, and it was supposed to be the super immersive experience, and I think it still kind of is. And we saw a film print, a 70mm print of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so it's kind of special. And the theater's featured in the film, and everyone applauded for that, so it's just kind of a cool little thing.
Yeah.
I dig it. It's a very good theater.
It was fun. I'd never been. I don't know that I liked the curved screen, though, TBH.
We did sit slightly to the left. If you are centered in there, it's very cool.
Yeah.
But because we were to the left, I didn't even think about it when I was like, oh, sweet, these are great. And I remember.
Well, it still was fine, though.
Yeah.
Another thing, so you bought all the tickets and everyone, like, paid you back, but you made a seating chart.
I realized last minute, if I just gave everyone the tickets and they went in, then we're going to have, like,
chaos.
It's just chaos. And then it became really hard because I was like, where do you put people? And then I realized, should I have this power to put people? So it was kind of a, I don't know.
You did put me in the very back left. Like a
we had someone person. Cancel and it screwed up everything because then we had someone else got another ticket and so then the rows were uneven. Oh. So if one person didn't sit up there, so I had to, it was chaos.
I don't envy that burden.
And I kept thinking like, well, no one can talk during a movie. We can talk before, but no one can talk during. So when the movie's happening, no one will be mad at me.
Right.
Until the end. Then they realize, what it is. So
I was mad the whole time.
That's fair. That is fair.
Cool. Well, that was a fun summer thing to do.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Had a good old time.
Yeah.
Been in a lot of movie theaters because they're air conditioned and lovely.
Oh, my God. Libraries, too.
Yeah.
Like cool zones, baby.
Mm. And lots of good movies this summer.
Yeah. Lots of good movies.
Lots of good movies.
Fun.
And we watched a movie.
Speaking of good movies. So we watched a movie called Larry Crown.
Yep.
Which is fun and unique because not only was it produced by the man himself... It was also co-written by him.
And directed. And starring.
Could we be so fucking lucky, man?
It's pretty,
So, have you seen this before?
I have. I have a really funny story about Larry Crown.
I'm ready to hear
by it. By happenstance. So, this movie came out in 2011. Okay. So, I was flying to Chicago to look at apartments. I was going to get my first apartment ever on my own.
Aww.
Well, with roommates. And I got there, I flew standby, my dad works for the airline, and I got there like 10 hours before anyone else. So I had to waste 10 hours, and it's the middle of summer in Chicago. I think it's around August time, so it's very hot. So I was like, I'm going to spend the day at the movies. And I could not have picked a worse like time, because there's nothing out that I hadn't seen. So the first movie I went to was Bad Teacher, with Cameron Diaz.
Oh, and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. So I saw that film. And then the second movie I watched was Cars 2. But when I got into the theater, now mind you, I also have a suitcase and that's coming into the theater with me.
Uh-huh.
So I got into Cars 2. Cars 2 starts, it's in 3D. I don't have 3D glasses because I walked into the theater. So I slept through Cars 2. And then a theater employee woke me up during the credits of Cars 2.
How? And, how did they wake you up?
Just like poked me and was like, sir, the movie's over. I wish. Just like a nice, pardon me. And then the only other movie that lined up was Larry Crown. So I watched Larry Crown, and I fell asleep incrementally, just because I was exhausted.
Okay,
so
I mean, you got enough sleep during Cars 2.
I found an apartment. So this was the last movie I saw before I saw the place I would live in.
Before your adult life truly began.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty insane.
So this was your first time watching it without falling asleep?
Yes.
Good.
Because I remember, it was like, I would fall asleep for like... A few seconds at a time, but that takes a toll on a person.
Yeah, I do that when I'm driving all the time.
Yes, it's very scary.
I'm just kidding.
No, I know what you mean. Like driving home from set and you're like...
Yeah, yes. I do it at work all the time, actually.
Work's fine, but it's scarier when you're behind the wheel.
Truly.
Is this your first time?
No, I also saw it that same summer, and I remember I went to a matinee with my mom and a bunch of her friends, and I have like a horrifying memory of my mom texting during the movie and a movie theater like employee coming over to lecture her. It was like mortifying. Yeah, it was mortifying. It was like
it's so bad now. I'm trying to imagine my parents doing that.
God, yeah. It was like I was like how old were we? Like
20, 21?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I would have been the one that should have been texting if anyone was going to be texting. Even at 20, I wouldn't have been doing it.
That's tough.
Oh, it was horrifying.
And very awkward.
And, of course, like, all the moms, like, thought it was fucking hilarious. And it was. Like, I probably would have laughed if...
I'm pretty sure I was the only person in the theater for Larry Crown. There was one other person because that was why the movie was playing. Because otherwise, I mean, I had walked in, so they wouldn't have counted a ticket. There was just this fat individual with a suitcase in the theater.
Okay.
Which, at the time.
Okay.
It was me.
I know. I just don't like when you talk about yourself like that.
Like talking about someone else I saw.
For two people in the movie theater that had suitcases.
Oops. I have my phone on. Wow. Bad etiquette all around. Well, what's Larry Crown about?
Okay. Larry Crown is kind of like a rom-com for adults. Mm-hmm. It's about a love that occurs post, like, marriage. It's like a grown-up rom-com. Kind of takes place during the recession.
Yeah.
Or, like, the aftermath of the recession.
Tom plays the titular Larry.
He is Larry Crown himself.
Lost his job.
Sorry, yes.
No, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Larry Crown loses his job. He's had a bad year. We know he's been divorced. He had to buy out his ex-wife from the house.
Yeah.
So he owes a ton of money on the house that's not worth a lot anymore because of the recession, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And the reason that he's laid off is because he didn't have any form of higher education.
Yeah, and the company argues that he can't move up in the company because of that. They like rank them and how they can grow, and he's ranked the lowest because he has no.
Yeah.
Which is really weird because I feel like that idea, I feel like we're progressively moving away from that idea.
Yeah.
But I guess 2011.
A crock of bullshit, but.
I mean, I went to college in 2008, so, and I feel like the mindset then was still, you have to go to college. College is how you move on with life.
Yeah. It just seems like an easy way to have an excuse to lay people off, I think, was probably why.
But he's such a good employee.
He was such a good employee. Oh, he's so sweet. And he, like, loved his job so much.
Yeah.
In his, like, opening little credits thing, you can see, like, all the fun things he does. And he's, like, just loves what he's doing.
I liked his little, the thing he wears when he pushes the carts.
To, like, protect your back.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lot of, like, great dad moments from
Tom.
Totally.
Yeah. So he starts taking classes at the community college. Grows as a human being and ends up falling in love with his teacher. Well, not even. They didn't fall in love. They just, like, developed a connection.
A kinship, perhaps.
And we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Now, to start, this movie, by 2019 standards, is loaded.
Yes.
With people.
So bizarre.
I did not remember half of these people. And maybe because half of these people are now bigger.
Huge stars, yes.
So we have Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Julia Roberts.
Two, like, insane caliber of, like, skill.
Beautiful. It must have been, I'm assuming he reached out and was like, I'm writing this movie.
Well, they probably did Charlie Wilson's War together.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
But it's just, it's like, sorry, I know where you're going with this conversation, but just, like, seeing a movie like this that is, like, pretty inconsequential, like, in terms of, like,
their careers.
Yeah, but like two people that are so talented. It's like Meryl Streep doing Mamma Mia, you know? It's like, what a gift.
How did you nail it? And also, like, it must be strange. He's the writer, the director, and the star.
Yeah.
He gets to have some say in the casting.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, spoiler, he cast his wife's in it too.
Yeah.
But it's really funny that he was like, I'm going to cast Julia Roberts as my love interest. Which is, I mean, it makes sense. Beautiful play.
Totally. Great chemistry, too. They have nice. They're pretty effortless. Together. And she's fucking, oh my God.
She's great. So then we have Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
He would be in the middle of, like, Breaking Bad is about to blow up and become like a massive thing. Cedric the Entertainer as his neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Taraji P. Henson as his wife.
As Cedric the Entertainer's wife, yes. Yeah,
which is crazy because she's huge now. Pam Grier, who she was Julia Roberts, like the other professor that worked with her.
Right.
She's in like Jackie Brown, but she was a huge in the 70s and 80s for like blaxploitation films.
Oh, okay.
She was Coffee and she was very big in that genre. And then George Takei from Star Trek was there. And then it's weird because I'm looking at the cast list and you just like watch the people that are ahead of these people now. You have Academy Award winner Rami Malek.
Who plays like a total dumbass.
Yeah, he's like this doofus, like very strange. Randall Park has like a really small beginning. And then Rita Wilson. And I'm sure
And then you know who else is in the class? The girl who did the lacrosse stuff?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's Meryl Streep's daughter.
That is Meryl Streep, sorry, yeah. Which is funny. I forgot her name. Does she have...
I don't think it's Streep.
Okay.
She was in that movie about the rock star that
Flash
and
the Flash and or something in the Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that. It was pretty good.
Anyway.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And it's 98 minutes. So whatever you think of it, it's over pretty fast.
Yeah, you barely have time to even feel anything.
Yeah.
Except for fun, joy.
Yeah. That's sort of where I land with it. It's a movie. It is a movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their thing.
Right.
It's not especially special, but it, like, functions.
It's like a little slice of life. It's like these kind of movies where it's like, you don't walk away thinking, like, oh, that's unrealistic. Like, I'll never find a love like that. Or, like, oh wow, what a huge period of, it was just like, it was like a real story.
Yeah, it's sort of bordering on like zero stakes.
Yeah.
You're just sort of like enjoying it. And if that doesn't work for you, then like it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. You feel things for the characters.
Yeah. Spend a little time.
Just now when you said like zero, these types of stories from what we know about Tom seem to be kind of like his fucking jam.
Yeah. It's weird. I liked it more this time than the first time I saw it. Yeah. I think because of that, having read his book and stuff, I think he really focuses in on.
Yeah.
He likes the like blue collar.
Yeah.
Just everyday man story. So right. I think he still sees himself as that and tries to be that regardless of the roles he takes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's just a sort of, it like operates almost like a Hallmark movie
mm-hmm.
where it's just sort of, you can just kind of watch it and just like go like comatose and enjoy it. And it goes in your brain and
yeah,
which isn't a bad thing. It's an interesting thing.
It is. Here's something I want to talk about. So Julia Roberts' character.
Yeah.
I don't know why, and I don't really have like any reason to like back this feeling up, but like her character obviously is like very unhappy with where she is in life. She uh-huh. seems to have some sort of like dependency on with alcohol. Maybe not, I don't know, but I mean the woman like drinks a lot.
Yeah.
She shows up to work hungover. She's like very unhappy in her marriage, in her career, all this stuff. Which is every character, like any story, it's good for a character to have flaws, right? Like that's like how you tell a story. But I'm trying to understand, like, I guess I didn't feel like there were any flaws to the character of Larry.
No, he sort of operates as just like white savior.
Right.
Just everyone he comes into contact with has ultimately a better life.
Yeah.
But in the world of Tom Hanks, I believe that.
Do
if
you?
He didn't have, if he was not called Larry Crown, if he was just Tom Hanks and this was a documentary, I would believe everything I saw.
Yeah.
But in the context of the movie, no, it is weird.
It is. It's just weird that like we don't get any backstory of like why this guy
what made
got divorced.
Fail. Yeah.
Why
is he working it?
Right. I mean, for being such a, there's like a, this is like dangerous territory. I'm not like saying anything about like his skill, but like why hasn't he wanted to progress?
Yeah, no, the person we're presented suggests the only thing we learned that he served in the Navy.
Right.
So he spent 20 years in the Navy as a chef, yeah. Which they sort of like slide in as like a negative, but he still served.
Right. Which actually does like become like you have more respect for like a vet, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like of course you're like, yeah.
But it's what he's sort of surrounded by people whose lives become better because of him.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like some of them return the favor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has the friend, whose name I forgot, the girl that he meets in the class.
Oh, fuck. It's, like, Tinashe. It's not Tinashe. It's like, something... Tasia? Talia.
Maybe. I'd watched this, like, 2 hours ago.
On Same. Watched it literally 5 hours ago.
I could also pull it up on
the
internet.
No, it's more fun this
one. But she basically kind of comes in and, like, gives him, like, the... Like, the queer eye makeover, like,
mm-hmm.
they do his hair, and they fix his wardrobe, and they go and they fix his house. Like, stuff that he didn't necessarily need to fix, because it wasn't things he didn't like about himself.
Mm-mm.
The things that they view as like, would help him. And they don't really help him, because I don't know. I mean, he becomes a little happier, perhaps. Maybe
yeah.
discovers things he likes.
Yeah, would he, like, have ended up anywhere differently if he hadn't had that help?
Yeah, because he still works hard, does the work, and...
He's also somehow, like, the perfect student, like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Come on. It's like a fantasy at this point. But whatever. We know... Whatever. I love you, Tom.
Yeah. We're not mad, but...
It is... it's just... If this was somebody else's, like, big director... It's not his directorial debut,
yeah.
even. But, like, would we be... We'd be a little harsher if it was someone else.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I would be. I would
because,
be.
Yeah, it's for... From, like, a directing standpoint, there's not a lot of... stylistic things that separate it from any other romantic comedy. And the same in the screenplay. It follows every romantic comedy like Standby to
mm-hmm.
a T. And it's just carried by great performances
mm-hmm.
and the luck that you have casted people who are now huge stars.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a movie people, no one ever talks about Larry mm-hmm. Crown, which is interesting. Like the only thing I associate it with is there was in Chicago, there was a video rental store by my house, and when they were going out of business, they were selling all of their stock, and they had like 40 copies of Larry Crown on DVD because they were closing like a few months after it had come out. So I think they had got it to rent and then they were selling it. So I bought like 15 to 20 of them. They're like 25 cents a piece.
Of Larry Crown?
Of Larry Crown. With my joke being that I was going to hide them around our apartment.
What?
Because Larry Crown's one of those movies where I was like, people would be like, why do you have so many copies of Larry Crown?
Right.
The joke never really panned out, but I did hide a bunch of them.
You have a bunch of uncultured swine as friends.
Yeah.
Who don't appreciate humor.
At first, they just sort of accepted it as like Daniel had left his DVD in my room.
Oh, okay.
Like the joke didn't catch on that I was like putting Larry Crown, and then I was like making a stack of Larry Crown. No one ever questioned, which maybe that says more about me.
No. I would have laughed.
Yeah, just sort of, it's weird because it hasn't had like an impact. Like it's not something I hear people, because sometimes, you know, an old rom-com will pop on Netflix. Yeah. And Twitter will like be like, wow, I, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You is on Netflix. And like, I rewatched it and like, man, I hated it. Or like, man, like what a great, this holds up so well. I haven't thought about it in so long. So it kind of has a weird,
yeah, it is one that you just kind of gloss over when you think of his career. I do remember, and I'm sure we've talked about it on the show. There's like an episode of the Colbert Report that Tom Hanks was on where they did like, his like Colbert's like Halloween spooktacular. This was like maybe 2012 or 13. And one of the jokes was that like people were coming to trick or treat at Tom Hanks' house and he was giving out copies of Larry Crown. And so the kids show up and they're like, Larry Crown, Larry Crown. And it's like, and then whatever, wow. Matt Damon shows up.
I need to see this.
It's like not on the internet anymore. I used to post it every Halloween because it's like my favorite.
It's got to be there somewhere.
Yeah.
The dark web.
We'll look for it. Yeah. Get on the dark web.
It's really weird. I was researching before because I was curious, like, how is Larry Crown remembered? Where does it fall in cinema history? And I thought it was very funny to read that, you know, there's the, like, cinema scores that sort of do these polls of, like, how old people are and how they liked it. Like, 71% of the audience was over 50. Mm. 93% was over 25. And the Hollywood Reporter said that old, it was old even for an adult skewing pick, like the age range. Mm-hmm. People seemed to like it that came out of the thing. Critics did not like it.
Yeah.
And I agree. I agree with their, because I think it's the same thing we said, which was relaxed, easy chemistry of stars Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts, but ultimately bland and conventional.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the weird type of bland and conventional where I'm not mad. I'm not like, wow, what a bad movie. I'm just like, what a...
Right.
There's 90 minutes gone by.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. Like, there was funny moments. I laughed. I didn't get, like, inexplicably bored where I was like, oh my God, like, when's this movie going to be over?
Yeah.
The pacing was fine.
I think I wanted something to... I knew because we'd seen it, but I thought there should be, like, some meat to it. Like, what are you trying to say with it? Because you say stuff, but because Larry is so likable. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, like, his struggles are that he's too nice.
Right.
No, it's also interesting because, I mean, Tom Hanks has only directed two movies in a span of, what are we at? Like 24 years since.
Yeah.
And I'm curious why. Also, this movie had a very large budget. It was $30 million budget.
That's.
probably all went to actors because.
Yeah.
What's the...
Okay, so what did he do before this? Not Toy Story 4, obviously. You
know, that was our last Toy Story 3.
Okay, and then what did he do before... What's next?
Like,
what did he have to do to be able to finance this?
Oh, you're right. Let's see.
Fucking Da Vinci Code 3?
Oh, I don't think we're there yet. Oh, are we? No, that's 2013. Oh, okay. So we're getting close to that, but we're not there quite yet. Because I'm not ready for that. Let's see here. As I make time scrolling down this page. Okay, he did this, and then his next movie is incredibly loud, or extremely loud and incredibly close. So it's cushioned between two pretty big movies. I feel like, I don't remember if Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close was a big hit, but it's the same year.
Wow.
And I feel like it was a book, because that book was huge.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying yeah, like I know anything about it. I don't know anything about that movie. But I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I know the premise. And if you don't know anything about it, don't read anything about it, because it'll surprise you.
Cool.
yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting choice when you come back. You come back to directing after, at that point, like 15 years. And that's sort of the...
Right. He wrote it with the woman, Nia Vardalos, I think is how you say it, who did My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of the comedy... I mean, Tom's like a funny dude, but I think her style of comedy was very present in this movie. I'm trying to think. There was like one moment I remember laughing out loud.
The way he says...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like...
What does he say?
It's what he said. It's in the very beginning, right?
And he says it a few times.
Oh, fuck.
Wow, we're great at this.
No, I mean, that says something kind of about the movie.
Yeah. It just kind of goes in one ear and then...
Yeah, where you're like, oh, funny, little quirk. Mm. Damn it. What?
I'm just trying to remember anything from this. I can't remember if I laughed out loud at anything, but I smiled pleasantly. Mm-hmm. Mostly just his goofy attitude. And
You know what I didn't really understand? Why? So the guy who like was recommending that everyone take this speech class that Julia Roberts, why was he like so into that class?
I don't know if that was something that was cut, because I always, in my head, I was like, oh,
he's like in love with Julia Roberts, right?
Or he comes into her class, Mercedes. But I feel like he's just trying to like get it so that her classes are full.
Yeah.
Because there's a weird thing where they say, like, if there's not 10 people in class, then they can cancel the class because it's not worth the cost. It costs more to run the class than it does to, which is dark. Like, how will these people get their degrees if classes they would need for their...
Right. And also, like, why wouldn't you know before the day the class starts if it's going to be full or not?
Yeah.
Like, why would you show up and then be like, this class is canceled? You have, like, a
seating chart where you're like, eh, there's only 9 people here.
Yeah. Like, there should be some sort of system.
Break down, nitpick these.
Yeah, like maybe that's why you guys don't have any money. Have any planning system.
Yeah, and sort of Julia Roberts. Oh, you know what? I just remembered completely lose my train of thought. Him dancing outside of her people.
Very made me laugh. Sweet. Very only sweet. Because,
and I think that was in the trailer, but it's still very funny.
It definitely was. Same with the thing about him driving up next to her on his little scooter and she's in her car. That was like totally in the trailer. Because she says, like, he's like, follow me. And then she's like, interesting.
Yeah.
I totally remember that from the trailer.
But I would. If he popped up on the Vespa and was like, follow me. I'm like, all right.
Anywhere he wants.
And he works in a coffee shop at one point.
He does.
That's a plot detail that we forgot about.
And he also works in a diner as like a chef, like a line cook or something.
Or which whatever. Is fun for a second.
For like 2 seconds.
And then I don't remember the payoff of that. They're old like army buddies or something. Or he served also.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you just needed money, I think.
I almost feel like there are moments like that where they're trying to tell us something about, at least back in the early aughts, of with the recession and with maybe older folks trying to find jobs post the career that they've chosen, where they're not educated on anything but this thing that they've chosen to commit their whole life to.
Right.
Which is something that I feel like people have gotten away from. Like, you don't pick a singular thing all the time anymore.
Mm-mm, you can't, because of shit like this.
Yeah. But then it doesn't ever go into it. Uh-huh. We get the one like payoff joke where one of the guys who fired him from corporate is like later delivering pizzas, and it's sort of played for a joke, but it's
also like sad for him too.
Yeah, like it's your life sad. Also like everyone is miserable, I guess.
Yeah, and like no one can like afford their lives anymore. It's like fucking depressing. I mean,
truth, man.
Pretty, yeah, I remember that from just like my own experiences as a child and things I observed. It's like fucking terrifying.
It's not good. Not good for anyone.
Yeah. Bummer.
I'm trying to think if I had any other things to say.
Do you have anything? Well, I just wonder, like, okay, if we were going to like beef this movie up and we were going to make Larry Crown a more dynamic character, besides just like a lovable everyman, what would we do?
I would probably make him, he's very loved by his work folks, and that's how he retains his, he's good at his job, he likes his job, but he's doing that, he's a kind of workaholic, and he's, that sort of pushed him away from his family.
Yeah.
Part of his divorce, maybe he's a little bit of a drinker too. I don't like that as a plot device, but because Julia Roberts does that, connection tool.
Yeah.
But that way you sort of see him pushing away people, and then he sort of views, he loses his job, and then views school as a way to get things back together for himself, but also maybe if he had like, if we saw his kids or something, if there was someone else to extend it to, not try and get back with his ex-wife, but to like be back in his life.
Yeah.
Or just commit to the, I mean, see these negative things, but then commit that he is getting his life together for himself. Cause I also think that's kind of cool and most movies don't do that. There's always another person you're getting better for.
Yeah.
But it may be kind of cool and honest to be like, this is for me.
Mm-hmm. But for once, I'm going to...
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was working this job because he had to pay for his home with his wife, and he had, like, mm-hmm. committed to being the... What is that? Breadwinner. Like,
yeah.
He had the sense of obligation that he doesn't have anymore.
Yeah, or just was, like, hit that point of being just content with what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He didn't like it, but he was just, this is what has to happen.
Yeah.
Just to give us something to, like... So we can be, I don't know, mad at him or root for him.
I wanted to see... So there are two things. Like, I would have loved to expand a little bit on the, like, him being a vet thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think there could be something... Like, he had... I mean, he was, like, a chef. So, obviously, from what we know, he wasn't really, like, out in battle or, like, you know, in any real danger. I don't know enough about the Navy to say that. But from what I know, seems like pretty low stakes for him. I would have liked... something to elaborate on that.
Yeah, that could have been really interesting because it's a thing. I think, like you're saying, that we don't like normal citizens don't know about.
Yeah, just like acclimating back into regular life as a
20
civilian.
Years. It makes sense why he's at a service job because he only knows how to like deal. I think that would have been really interesting.
And I would have liked to see it. He was just so quick to just be like, okay, I lost my job. Now I'm back at it. Like, I'm going to go reapply for new jobs. I would have liked to see some kind of, like, moment of reflection where he, like, looks back and he's like, what did I do wrong to get here?
Yeah.
Even if it's not deserved and that's ultimately not the same message that we should take away from the struggle. It's just, like, I wanted to see him struggle a little bit and be like, what am I doing? Like, I can't afford my life anymore.
Because we get, like, a 2-minute montage of him getting turned down, but...
Right. And he barely even is like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what does he do after, at the ending, what does he do with his life?
Right, like, is he going to keep taking classes? Yeah. Like, he only took 3 classes. That can't have been enough to get any sort of degree.
He has an apartment?
Yeah, he sold his home.
Like, what is he doing?
He foreclosed on his home.
Do we really not learn what he's doing?
I might have also zoned out. Like, also, I have to be completely honest. Like, the big thing the whole movie's leading up to is that he gives a speech in his speech class that was apparently, like, fucking chef's kiss, like, so good. I don't fucking know what it was about.
It was about geography.
It was about geography.
It was just one moment where he talked about the army, all the places he'd visited.
Oh, fuck me. Okay. Well, sorry.
No, that's fair. But again, that says a lot about...
Yeah.
Sort of...
Like, I knew it was important, and I still was like...
Yeah.
I don't...
I'd also like to see more about Julia Roberts, because we get kind of the basics, like, her husband's likes to look at clothed...
Like, old-fashioned, like, boob porn. Like, very niche, like, so weird. Not... Whatever.
Just a dude being a dude. That's how they kind of play it off.
That was a line they said a few times.
And then they have, like, a bad date, and...
Well, they're both, like, functioning alcoholics.
Yeah. He gets arrested for it.
Yeah.
And then comes home to all of his stuff on the lawn.
With a nice, fully clothed woman on the monitor. He has, like, all his porn, like, saved, too. And it's not even movies. It's, like, still images. It's, like, the softest core porn. so bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, they're just a couple's therapy session away from, like, really getting into that. They could have really maybe saved that. And it's a little weird because, like... We learn that they sort of the movie plays with you that Bryan Cranston, or her husband is doing this stuff. And so when she starts to, like, maybe feel something for Larry, you're like, yeah, but, like, they're still married.
I know. And she even says it. Like, she, like, says something. And I was, oh my God, for Larry Crown being, like, this, like, upstanding citizen, the fact that he kissed a married woman while she was, like, fucking obliterated is kind of fucked.
Yeah. And then danced about it.
Yeah.
He didn't stay, though.
No.
I'm trying to defend him. That doesn't make any sense. He did a bad thing.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all weird. She's also his teacher. It's, like, wildly inappropriate, even though they're, like, adults.
Well, but she says that, so that makes it okay.
Yeah, as long as she acknowledged it, it didn't stop her from doing anything. We're all flawed, except for Larry Crown.
Larry Crown. Wow, that's, people, you know, people write about their heroes. Larry Crown.
Yeah.
Not getting the stuff he deserves.
I feel like before this, I always, like, joked that I loved this movie, and now I'm, like, kind of realizing I don't really love it.
This is the movie I would go home, in my fantasy land, I would go home to Christmas to, like, my dad's side of the family in, like, the middle of Oklahoma, and they have, like, 10 movies on DVD, and this is one of them. This seems like that kind of movie.
Right, like, you could watch it with everyone. This?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I bought it at Dollar General.
I bought it at Blockbuster. Yeah. Before it closed. Going out of business.
Yeah. What a fascinating piece. That will be its history.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting just for the fact that it was written, directed, and starred.
Yeah.
And produced, like, all of that. Like, that's just interesting.
Yeah. And it also is one of those things where I always think is interesting. We're two formats past DVD. This movie does not exist on anything but DVD.
Oh, really?
There's no Blu-ray and there's no 4K of it. So it tells you sort of how it's looked at in the catalog world.
Right, and like who's demanding it.
Yeah.
Like
who's demanding?
I watched it on Cinemax.
Oh, I just rented it.
Okay.
They probably got like a crazy notification. Like someone just rented Larry Crown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really funny. I love that idea. I love the idea that our podcast would have, like, any sort of, like, impact on anything like that.
If Larry Crown gets a Blu-ray release, I'm going to say it's our. We did it. And I'd like to do a special feature.
Absolutely.
What would we do? I guess we weren't too kind to it, so.
No.
Whatever. Maybe we could just interview. We'll interview Tom for, as a new.
I would imagine we get an interview with Tom Hanks and this is what we ask him about. Or, like, Julia Roberts even, like.
If we get a Tom Hanks interview, if we don't make Larry Crown shirts, we did it wrong.
True.
We should be Larry Crown stands.
We absolutely should. We show up on little mopeds. Okay.
We could be like Star Wars The Last Jedi fans and be like, we've rewritten this for you. We can make it better in our view. We're wrong, as are the Star Wars The Last Jedi fans.
Interesting.
Who don't like the movie because it's a masterpiece. but we'll be like, we have this idea. It's a sequel. We want to know where he goes.
Larry Crown too.
Larry Crown gets his masters.
Larry King. What's like a, not crown, king, like.
Larry Tierra.
The king
Tierra.
Gets his crown.
Game of Thrones. Game of
Crowns. Wait,
what do they call him? Lance Corona?
Corona.
Don't have a joke for that.
Well,
something that
time.
Came in my head and I was like, ah.
No, we're riffing. Yeah.
We are trying to fill time with Larry Crown.
Okay, last thing I wanted to talk about, just the not the concept of Julia Roberts. She's like a human
also
being.
Fair. She is like came from a rift in the universe. She doesn't age. She's an incredible actress. I'm always flabbergasted.
So I was having a conversation like this with a friend the other day, not the other day, like months ago, but feels like yesterday. People like Julia Roberts, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, the entire cast of Big Little Lies is like what I'm getting at. They're like the kind of stars that like transcend modern celebrity. Like nobody in their right mind now who's like trying to become an actor and have a successful career, they need social media presence.
Yeah.
They need to be like actively doing museum, magazine interviews, like tons of press. People like Nicole Kidman, Julia, like those, Julia Roberts, they're like untouchable. And like nobody even like is mad that they are that.
Yeah. Well, they, at least to my knowledge, I don't have a super in-depth, I haven't done research into it, but like they're also like not problematic people.
Right.
Like they seem to be good people.
Yeah.
Again, from my limited
right, and
base
we only
knowledge.
Can know so much. They probably pay a lot of people to.
But it's sort of, it's funny coming off of our initial conversation about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I was reading about how DiCaprio's and like Tom Cruise are sort of like the end of the movie star. People mm-hmm. aren't used to go to people would go to a movie, especially older people like my parents would go to a movie because of an actor. Less they don't see trailers the way we follow it, so mm-hmm. they see oh so and so's got a new movie, I'm gonna go see it. People like I mean I'm friends with film people, so they're like oh the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie, we're going to go see that. The new Tarantino movie, we're going to go see that. Blah, 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 blah. So we're sort of in a weird stage where that there's not stars like that. But I feel like on the flip side, with people like that, you have the people you just listed that when they're in something, you're like, what about, they can do whatever they want. What about them made this, what about them made them choose this?
Yeah.
And I need to see it.
Right. No, it's just fascinating. It's like they can, they give us so little
mm-hmm.
and we're like into it.
I dig it. I like that they don't have to have a online like presence that is like fabricated. They just get to like live, still be, I'm sure, hunted by the paparazzi, but like mm-hmm. live and I mean, I don't follow any like Hollywood gossip.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they drop Big Little Lies. You're like, yep, that is my...
on my way to HBO.
Yeah. Though I haven't watched season two, I gotta be honest. Me
either. I've only been watching Big Brother. It's just what I do during the summers. I'm sorry.
I'll be paid for it, so.
Yeah.
But I'm not paid to watch it on your own time, though, so... I don't know. I take that back.
Yeah.
Just watch Fleabag.
I have seen one episode of Fleabag.
Rachel and I did it in 2 days. I've already seen it a few times. There's only eight episodes, right? I think six per season. It's two seasons.
There's two seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Season two is a masterpiece.
Okay.
And Rachel and I've seen it a few times, but I was like, you need to watch this. Uh-huh. And we finished it in 2 days.
So. I know there's like that hot priest from Sherlock in it.
Yeah. Life change. Probably the best written show on television.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, someone else said that to me, and then she showed me an episode, and she was like, this is a masterclass in TV writing, and I was like, I disagree.
First season is really good. I like it a lot. Second season is like a different world.
Okay.
She also writes, she's the star, too. She writes and directs. She writes and stars.
And she wrote...
Killing Eve.
Yeah, which I love.
And I think I'm information about this. She's rewriting the new James Bond movie right now.
Ooh.
And I believe it's because Daniel Craig... loves her work, and he is injured, and they have I might have this wrong, but they brought her in to rewrite it, and I think it's because of Daniel Craig, which is very cool.
I like that.
And she's the robot woman in Solo, Star Wars Story.
I don't remember.
She's like Lando Calrissian's like robot partner.
Okay.
That starts the robot revolution. Spoiler.
I trust you. I believe you.
I am right in this case.
Great.
Rare, but that's only because it's just a fact online.
Yeah.
That's a fact of production, maybe, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Larry Crown.
So that's that, right?
That's Larry Crown.
Yeah, with nothing really
else. Yeah.
I give it like a whatever, a three.
I probably do a 2 out of 5. 2.5 out of 5.
I give it like a 3 out of 15. It's the baseline. What if I just suddenly change it?
That's your first not 5 since Bachelor Party.
Really?
Probably not true, no.
That would be funny.
Yeah, 2 out of 5 is a movie, 5 out of 5, that Tom Hanks is in it.
Yeah. It's not like I'm like, don't ever watch this. It's just like, there are so many other movies to watch.
I wouldn't recommend it, but like, if you need some white noise on, or like, it's the only thing on a plane, or the only thing you haven't seen on HBO Go, then like, it's 98 minutes.
Yeah.
Cut the credits out, it's 95 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah, and Rita Wilson has blonde hair in it.
Yeah.
It's funny. Cool.
Awesome.
That's that, right?
That's that.
Is it time for our other thing we like to do? It's time for Hanks Happenings.
I had to think of what it was.
I don't remember what we talked about on the last episode.
We can freaking rehash.
Did we talk about the trailer?
No, I don't think it was out yet. I think the trailer's like the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
That's amazing. We're talking about the trailer for Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Yeah.
Starring Tom Hanks.
As Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
As if people don't know.
Okay, how many people sent you that link?
A lot of people.
Yeah,
my
same.
Mom. I think Rachel's parents might have.
Yeah.
I got a lot. Posted on my Facebook wall, mm-hmm. sent to me on Twitter, mm-hmm. Instagram DM'd because people are like following some, or they got an ad for it, I guess.
Yeah.
I also got targeted as an ad for it. So.
Yeah, but we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Not mad. That movie looks tailor-made to make me cry.
Right.
Like, kind of fricked up.
Okay. I gotta be honest.
You have a controversial opinion.
Maybe. I don't know. The accent is, like, very gumpy. Like, it's...
No, I agree.
Right?
There's some stuff he says that I was like, interesting.
But also, like, he was different as Disney, as Walt Disney, too. So...
Yeah. I personally am in the camp. There are some things, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Capote, where it is unbelievably close to... Like, it just looks like you're watching that person on screen. But I also feel like sometimes you want an actor for a role, they can't do the accent, and I don't think I want them to. I want them to just be an interpretation of it. But I agree, some of the lines in the trailer sound like he's doing his Forrest Gump voice.
Yeah, because we're not like watching a movie because we want to see a really bomb like Mr. Rogers impression.
A documentary, like we can watch his life.
I don't need to see that. What I do want to see is a story.
Yeah,
and it's. Yeah.
And in terms of like the charisma, what Fred Rogers represents, I think that sort of ties into how we feel about Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Not in the same what he's aspired to do in the world, but like how he's viewed as a public figure, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be It looks like a very pleasant time.
I'm excited. Maybe we can see that at the Cinerama Dome.
Oh, maybe. Oh,
is that what it's called?
Cinerama Dome, yeah.
Cinerama Dome. That'd be funny.
Yeah, but we also have, A-List, so I could sell some
stuff right.
for free.
Yeah, true.
But I'd like to see Tom on IMAX if it's available.
Hell yeah.
Or in a large format screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. It's like every day we get closer. We've been fucking lucky this year.
Yeah.
TS4. Yeah.
And now,
which is still kind of recovering from.
Fair. Fair.
Wonderful time in my life. It's a good year. It's a good
it
summer.
Is a good year.
I'm fucking happy, dude.
2019. I still haven't gotten a hold of Tom to officiate my wedding, but working on it.
Right.
Maybe the press cycle for this. I just feel like it's weird he hasn't. You see our email, right?
We're
Pod Hanks Tomcast.
I mean, he knows we have like 100 followers on Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we post.
Yeah. One time I posted like 100 things, catching up on the things I hadn't posted yet.
There's got to be like a thing that you can time things.
Oh, there is. Yeah. I just haven't. I'm just shit at this. I'm like so over social media as a concept right now. I'm like.
I feel you. And then you like have something and you're like, I guess I need, but.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We have the true listeners.
Yeah. I'm making
right
a show
here.
For my future children.
Yeah.
I want my kids, whatever, however many years from now, to listen to this episode of this podcast and know that their mom was very happy.
And if we reboot this someday, this will be, people will be like, well, I listened to the original.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Before they had money.
Yeah.
And Tom was on every episode.
Oh, my God.
Wild world.
Wow. Well, cool. So what'd you say the next one was?
The next movie is
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Yeah.
Cool.
And
I'm
then,
not going to read anything about it.
Yeah, I think it's... Okay, yeah. And then Cloud Atlas.
Oh, bitch! I'm
which
excited.
Is crazy. We should watch that together.
Yeah, we'll
the
watch Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas.
That'll be fun. I will watch that with you. That'll be fun.
Funnier to have to try and talk about it right after.
I agree. Also, remember after we watched Dragnet and then you showed me the music video and then we recorded?
Yeah.
And I was all, yeah. I like that feeling.
Yeah. It's a good feeling.
Okay. Great.
That's all I got.
That's it.
That's what he
wrote. All right. That's that.
Mary Crown.
So, if you're interested in continuing the conversation, you can find us on the previously mentioned social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and, SoundCloud, I guess, is a social media platform.
Pod Hanks Tomcast.
Yeah, there'll be something there. We've also got a website, Pod Hanks Tomcast.
Sponsored.
Oh, wait, that's not it. It's TalkinTom.com. Talking without the G.
TalkinTom.com without the G.
Pod Hanks Tomcast will reroute to TalkinTom, though.
Oh, nice. Wow, we
own both domains.
This episode of Pod Hanks Tomcast, sponsored by Squarespace.
Squarespace, I wish.
Use slash Pod Hanks Tomcast, Squarespace, 10% off your order. Right?
Yeah.
What you get?
That should work.
Heck
try
yeah.
it. Yeah. And if you want to see stuff that I don't post on Instagram, I've got an Instagram too. Josie Bornkamp.
And a blog.
Yeah, that I never update. Sugar and satire. What are
but
we even
dope.
Doing? Thanks, Daniel.
It tastes good.
That's so nice to hear.
One perk. I mean, it's a dope blog, but also I get to like eat a lot of that stuff. So.
Yeah, you do. What about you?
Bonus.
Do you want to plug your social media?
Yeah. My social media is @DanielOtte.
Mm-hmm.
My website is @DanielOtte.com because DanielOtte.com was taken. And my Instagram is just DanielOtte because that one wasn't taken.
And your dog on Instagram?
Oh, my dog has an Instagram. It's Detective Kevin, but Kevin's spelled weird because Kevin is a lady, and it's Kevynn, and she's the light of my life.
Truly. Mine also. Well, it was nice catching up with you, Daniel.
Good. Pleasure as always.
Okay. My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
Thanks for listening.